Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Tzadi Zayin. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children and by the Bruckheimer Family Fund in Hakaras HaTov for the Daf Yomi Shiurim and in loving memory of Hindel Bas Eliakim HaKohen, Allah Shalom. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on Daf Tzadi Vav Amid Beis, and we are at Tanu Rabbanan, a few lines before the end of the page, at the two dots. And the first thing we're going to discuss is the identity of the Mekoshesh, the possibility that the Mekoshesh was Tzlavchad. We already discussed yesterday what the possible Avera that the Mekoshesh did was, which Melacha of Shabbos he did. Now we're going to talk about the identity of the Mekoshesh. Then on the top of Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph, the Gemara is going to discuss the potential situation where Aaron might have had Tzara'as, and the situation where Moshe Rabbeinu in fact did have Tzara'as, as is reported in the Chumash itself. Then the Gemara is going to give two ways of understanding the Machlokas we had in the Mishnah between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim about being Zorik Mirshus HaYachid Rishus HaYachid Rishus HaRabim B'Yemtza, whether you're Chayiv for throwing from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid with a Rishus HaRabim in the middle. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokas as far as whether one is Chayiv or Pater? Then the Gemara is going to bring the source for the concept of Lavud, a concept that we use throughout Mesach Shabbos, Mesach Zerv, and Mesach Sukkah. So where does this concept come from, that anything that's within three Tvachim is as if it's totally closed off? And then the Gemara is going to discuss throwing from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaRabim with the Rishus HaYachid Be'emtza, the reverse case of what the Mishnah spoke about, of throwing from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid with the Rishus HaRabim in the middle. What if you throw from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim with the Rishus HaYachid in the middle? Then the majority of Amud Beis is going to discuss whether we are Mechayiv Atolda B'Mokomav, particularly whether Rabbi Yehuda holds that one is Chayiv for a Tolda if he did both the Tolda and the Av together. Is he Chayiv separately for the Tolda? And at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss what if you throw something and it lands somewhere that you didn't want it to land, but it landed in a place that normally you'd be chayiv for. So are we going to say that you're chayiv because at the end of the day you did a malacha, or are we going to say that you're pater because you didn't do what you wanted to do? You wanted it to land 8 amos away, and it only landed 4 amos away in Rosh Hasharabim. Is one going to be chayiv if the malacha that they intended to do didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen? So let's begin at the Braisa on Daf Tzadi Vavam Beis Tan Rabbanan. Mekoshesh zet tzlavchad. The identity of the Mekoshesh, says the Braisa, is tzlavchad. V'cheinu omer, and that's what the pasuk says in the parasha of the Mekoshesh. Vayiyu b'nei Yisrael bamidbar vayimtzu ish, that they found a man when they were bamidbar. Ulahalanu omer, and by the b'nei tzlavchad, the pasuk is going to say avinu meis bamidbar. So you see from the word bamidbar that appears in both places that the Torah is trying to hint to us who the identity of the Mekoshesh is. Malalan Slavchad, Afkan Slavchad, just like the Bnei Slavchad, we're talking about their father Slavchad, so to the Mekoshesh is Slavchad. Div Rabbi Akiva, that's Rabbi Akiva Shita. Amrla Rabbi Duma Mseiros, Rabbi Duma Mseiros says to Rabbi Akiva, you may be right or you may be wrong, but either way you're wrong. Because Akiva, Benkach or Benkach, Atas Delitin Esadin. Either way, you're going to have to pay for what you just said. Im kidvarecha Torah kisato v'atamigalo. So if you're right in terms of the identity of the Mekoshesh, well, the Torah obviously tried to cover it up, and here you are revealing it. You're revealing that which the Torah tried to cover. V'im lav, and if you're wrong, atamotzi laz alos atzadik, then you're stamping motzi laz on a tzadik. Tzlavchad was a tzadik, and you're trying to say that he was a Mechal Shabbos, that he was the Mekoshesh. Svasemis points out that even though the pasuk says by Tzlavchad ki bechet omeis, that he died as a result of his sin, so it's hard to say that he was a tzaddik, meaning he did an avera. So Shasema says no, a chet means he did an avera b'shogeg, but to say that he was a mekoshesh who did something b'mezid, you know, adamein tzaddik baretz asher yasa tov v'lo yechta, the pasuk in Koelah says everybody does chatoim. So to say ki bechet omeis, that just means he's not on the very short list of people that the Gemara has in Bava Basra who died b'itiyosh Shel Nachash, who died without even ever sinning. Everybody else in history, including all the great tzaddikim, all have chataim. So that would not suggest that he's not a tzaddik. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda Ben-Seira takes Rabbi Akiva to task for this. That how can you say that he didn't have aver b'mezid? The Tosos Maseches Basra and Daf Kuf Yotes on Beis quotes a medrash that the Mekoshesh was l'shem shemayim niskavin, that he did it l'shem shemayim because Klal Yisrael thought that once the Maaseh Meraglim happened and the gzeru was made that they're not going to get into Eretz Yisrael, that they're not chayiv in mitzvos anymore. So he dafka went out to be mechal Shabbos in order that he should get killed to demonstrate to everybody that they are that they are still chayiv in mitzvos. So the Chasam Sofer points out l'chora that medrash is against our Gemara because our Gemara is assuming that the Mekoshesh was a rasha, that the Mekoshesh did something terrible, and therefore it would be lashon hara to say about somebody that they are the Mekoshesh. But that medrash says that the Mekoshesh was l'shem shemayim, so it wouldn't be quite so terrible. Asked the Gemara, how could you criticize Rabbi Akiva for saying that the Mekoshesh was slavchad? He learned it from a gzera shava, so it's as if it's mefurash. The criticism was the Torah was covering it up. No, it wasn't. That's a, the Torah made a gzera shava so that we could learn such a gzera shava. So gzera shava lo gamar. Rabbi Yehuda Ben-Seira obviously didn't have that gzera shava as part of his mesora. Right? We have this concept throughout all of Shas that ain't of them done gzera shava me'atzmo. A person cannot make his own gzera shava. Rashi Masechta Sukkah and Daf Yud Aleph explains that you need to have a kabbalah me'rabo v'rabo me'rabo and Moshe Rabbeinu because otherwise, how would you ever know that this pasuk was written for the sake of a gzera shava? That's what the Ramban writes in the Shrashim and Sefer HaMitzvos and Shoresh Beis, that anytime you have any book, there's inevitably, written in any language, there's inevitably going to be an overlap of certain words. Certain words are going to be used multiple times. So how do you know when that's an indication that the two parshios are supposed to be linked? It's just natural to language that that certain words are going to be used multiple times. So that's not an indication that the parshios need to be linked with each other. That's why you need to have a Kabbalah Meirabo, that a Gzeir Shav is in fact meaningful, that the fact that a word is used in different places is really something that is meant to be looked at. So the Balei HaTosfos write in a number of places, the Tosfos over here writes that Vim Tomar, Gzeir Shav lo Gamar, Vim Tomar v'ligmar me Rabbi Akiva shu kibla me Rabbo. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda Ben-Seira learn from Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva obviously did have a Mesorah for such a Gzeir Shav. So Vim Rabbi Natam, Shailem b'Kabbalah Minyan Gzeir Shav, Shabakala Torah. So Tos says that when we say that a person can only accept the Gzer Shav if he was Mekabel Meirabo, it doesn't mean that they were Mekabel from the Rebbeim, the specifics, exactly what is a Gzer Shav, what is not a Gzer Shav, where the Gzer Shavs are, what Allah. No, all they got was a number. They were Mekabel a certain number of Gzer Shavs from their Rebbeim, and any time that you're going to add a new Gzer Shav, it's going to mess up the whole Cheshbon. They're going to have to take something else off of their list. So that's why you don't have one a Tana just accepting the Gzer Shav of another Tana, because it will mess up the minion, the number of Gzer Shavas that he received from his Rebbe. Okay, so says the Gemara, Ella Mehecha Hava. So from what Avera did he die? It says Mecheto Meis. So what Avera was it if he was not the Mekoshesh? Miviafilu Hava. He was from the Ma'afilim. The Ma'afilim is after the Chet HaMeraglim, there were certain Jews that did tshuva about speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, and they wanted to go right away. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, if you go, the Amalekim and the Canaanim are going to kill you. And they didn't listen, and they pushed forward, and they went, and the Amalekim and the Canaanim, in fact, killed them. That is actually another Eretz Yisrael Dikadaf Yomi coincidence. That is not in our this week's Parsha. It is in Eretz Yisrael's this week's Parsha, right? It's in Parsha Shalach, that story of the Ma'afilim. Kayotzi b'davarata Omer. So just like we darshan by Tzlavchad, so too we could darshan by Aaron and Miriam that spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayichar af Hashem bom vayelach. That, why did it say bom b'loshon rabim? Melamed sh'af Aaron nitzara. That Aaron also got tzaras. Div Rabbi Akiva. So a similar conversation. Omer Rabbi B'Seira, Akiva, ben kach atos liten esadin. How can you say that Aaron got tzaras? You're going to be in trouble for that. Im kidvarecha, because if you're right, Hatorah kisato v'ata megalo, so the Torah covered it up and you're trying to reveal it. V'im lav, and if you're wrong, wrong, Atamotzi Laz, Losa Tzadik, then you're speaking Laz about Aaron HaKohen. How could you, by saying that he got Saras, Velhaksiv Bam, but frankly, Gemara, wait a second, he's not saying something that the Torah didn't already refer to. The Torah said the word Bam in plural, which makes it sound like they both had Saras. How can you criticize Rabbi Akiva for revealing that which the Torah covered up? It didn't cover it up, it said it. So Ahu Minazifa Bialma. No, that just means that there was Nazifa Bialma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got upset at Aaron, but not that he necessarily had Saras. So Miriam, we know the Torah said explicitly had Saras. The Marsha explains the reason Miriam got punished more than Aaron was that she was the one that initiated the Lashon Hara. So one who initiates the Lashon Hara is always going to be in bigger trouble, is always going to be considered to have done the greater Avera. There's a Medrash in the Sifri Zuta that suggests that the reason Aaron did not get Saras was because he wore the Mi'il, and the Gemara in Arachim and Daf Tazayin says that the Mi'il is Mechaper for Lashon Hara. So his sin of Lashon Hara was immediately minimized by the fact that he wore the Beged for that is Mechaper for the Lashon Hara. Tanya command the Amar Af Aaron Itzar, but we have a Braisa that supports the idea that Aaron too had Saras. Tichsiv, Vayifan Aaron al Miriam, Vihine Mitzaras. Tana, Shepanim Mitzarato. So the Braisa tells us that Aaron had turned away from his own Saras, meaning his Saras was healed prior to Miriam's Saras being healed. But if we're saying that his Saras was healed, it means that it existed. So you see that Aaron HaKohen also had Saras. So that's the Agadita for today. So now we go, a little bit more Agadita. So Amresh Lakish, HaChoshed B'ksherim Loka B'gufo. If a person is Choshed B'ksherim, he's going to be physically punished for being Choshed B'ksherim. D'chziv, because the Pasuk says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go inform Klal Yisrael that he's being sent on a mission to release them from slavery, v'hein lo yaminu li. Moshe Rabbeinu says they're not going to believe me. V'gal yikam ikut shabrichu d'mehem li Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that they absolutely will believe Moshe Rabbeinu. So Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, hein ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. These Jewish people, they are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. V'ata ein sov chalamin. You're saying that they're not believers? You're the one that ultimately is not going to be a ma'amin. Hein ma'aminim d'chsev ha'aminu ha'am. How do I know that they're ma'amin? So I know that they themselves are ma'aminim because the pasuk says that they believe Moshe Rabbeinu. B'nei ma'aminim, and after, how do I know that they are b'nei ma'aminim? Because by Avram Avinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he's going to have children that are k'koch ve'ashamayim ve'amein ba'ashem, that Avram Avinu believed Hashem. But atah ein sof chalamin. Where do we find Moshe Rabbeinu ever lacked emuna? Shenemar by the main Meriva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Narun, Yan lohem mantem bi, that the avera was a lack of emuna. So good. So I see that Moshe Rabbeinu was choshed b'ksherim. How do I know that Moshe Rabbeinu suffered physically on account of being choshed b'ksherim? Because the pasuk says when the Moshe Rabbeinu had to give osos to make for the Jewish people that they should believe him. And he put his hand in his jacket, and it turned out it was mitzras kasheleg. So you see that through that os was a punishment for the lashon hara that he spoke in being choshed b'ksherim against Klal Yisrael. The Achronim raised the question that, wait a second, what was the aveira here of Moshe Rabbeinu? The Gemara says, oh, he was choshed that they weren't going to be mamin, and Hashem knew that they would be mamin. Yeah, Hashem knew, but Moshe didn't know that they would be mamin. So how is he supposed to know? And also, what's the raya that the Gemara brings from the pasuk vayamena am? The previous pasuk says vayidaber Aaron eskal advar Moshe dibra Hashem l'Moshe vayasa osos le'enayan. So they only believed after they saw the osos, and Moshe Rabbeinu wanted Hashem to give him an os in order that they should believe. So it's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu predicted, that yes, they will believe, but only if you show me some proof. So that's exactly what happened. Only when they were shown proof did they in fact believe. So the Marsha explains, based on a medrash, that there was a simon that the Ziknei Yisrael had, that pakod pakadati was the lashon, the expression that was going to be used by the ultimate goel. And therefore, Moshe was inappropriate when he said to, that the Bnei Yisrael would not believe him. Hashem said, they're ma'aminim Bnei ma'aminim, meaning they're ma'aminim, and they have something, they have a Kabbalah that from, Bnei ma'aminim means they have a Kabbalah from their forefathers of what it's going to take in order for them to be ma'amin. And that's what the Gemara brings the Pasuk, Vayamein ha'am, because the Hemshech of the Pasuk is Vayishmu ki pakad Hashem es Bnei Yisrael, that even without the Osos they would have been ma'aminim. Ki pakad Hashem, the Lashon of Pekida was all they needed to here in order to be ma'amin. Okay, so we see from here a person is not allowed to be choshed b'ksherim. But not only is there an issue to be choshed b'ksherim, the Sefer Chassidim writes that based on that, anyone who is not menaka atzmo mideach shad, that if a person brings about suspicion upon himself when he's innocent, he too is a chote, because he's being machshil other people in being choshed b'ksherim. Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva in the Likutei Chassam Sofer in Siman Nun Tes that he's made al atzmo, that his entire life he was very, very careful to fulfill the yisem nikiyim me Hashem umi Yisrael, that he was he would always think about ways to make sure that no one should ever be choshed him, that it should always be, everything should always be above board, because it's a lifnei iver to cause others to be choshed b'ksherim when in fact you didn't do anything wrong. Okay, says the Gemara further now. So the Gemara brings another drasha. Amar Rav Avitam Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Mida Tova Maheres Lava Mimidas Pranos. Mida Tova comes more quickly than bad things come. The reason that that's so, the Yunya points out, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Paranus to give an onus to a person, and Hashem does not enjoy punishing people. He does not enjoy the Mapala Shel Rasha'im, and therefore he'll give it some time. Maybe the person will do tshuva. But Mida Tova is something HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very happy to do and excited to do, so that will come in immediately. Dila B'midas Paranus Ksiv, when it comes to the Paranus that Moshe Rabbeinu had Saras, it says, V'yatsiyavina Yadam Atzaras Kishalag, then he took his hand out, and when he took his hand out, it had Saras on it. Vila b'mida tova, but when it was cured from the tzaras, ksiv, the pasuk says v'yatsia mecheko v'hinei shava kivsaro. So mecheko dov shava kivsaro. You see from there that it already had been healed while it was still inside. That it didn't wait till it came out, till he took his hand out for the healing to happen. Because mida tova comes more quickly than midas peranus. So the pasuk tells us that in the signs that Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu to do for Paro, in order that Paro should listen, that the staff would turn to a snake, vayivla mata aronis matosam, and Aaron's stick would swallow up the matos of the mechashvim of Paro. So Rav Lazar nes betoch nes, that it says that the mata swallowed up the other matos. So it doesn't say vayivla sanin, that the serpent swallowed up. So this is a nes betoch nes, that the first nes was it went back to being a mata, and then after going back to being a mata, it swallowed the matos of the Chartume Mitzrayim. So that's a nace that it swallowed their matos, and another nace that it swallowed them while it was a mata, and not while it was a sanin. So that was the nace betoch nace. Okay, now back to the halachic section of the daf. So we had said in the Mishnah that if someone throws something from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yachid, but there is a Rishus Rabim in the middle, so Rabbi Akiva's Mechayiv, and the Chum say that you're potter. So Bayi Rabba Lemata Me'asara Pligi Ubaha Pligi, is the machlokas when you threw it through Rosh Hashanah within 10 tefachim of the ground of the Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the nekudas machlokas would be the following. Demar savra min klut kemish uncha, the Rabbi Kiva holds that when something is in the airspace of a Rishus, we view it as if it is resting in that Rishus, and therefore when you threw it through the Rishus Rabim, it's as if you picked up the item in Rishus Yachid, placed it down in the Rishus Rabim, picked it back up again in the Rishus Rabim, and placed it down in the opposite Rishus Yachid, and that's why you're going to be Chayiv Karban Chatas, meaning Rabbi Kiva's Mechayiv. We say the Gemara on Dav Dalim Bey said that Rabbi Kiva's Mechayiv only once for the Hotzah to the Rishus Rabim. So that's a fascinating discussion over there. Why only once? Meaning if you really hold Kluta Kamisha Uncha, there should be two Chayivim over here, from the Rishus Yachid to the Rosh Hashanah, and then again from the Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah. And even though we say Kluta Kamisha Huncha, Tosos points out back on Daf Hey that if you Zorek Dalar Amos Rosh Hashanah, you're still going to be Chayiv. Meaning one might have argued, ooh, if Kluta Kamisha Huncha, anytime something is in the airspace of a Rosh Hashanah, it's as if it's resting in that Rosh Hashanah, you can never actually be Zorek Dalar Amos in Rosh Hashanah, because wherever it is along the way, it's as if it rested. So it never went four Amos at one time. It's always resting every inch of the Rishus Rabim. So Tosfos points out that Maver Dal Rambam's Rishus Rabim is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that you're chayiv. That for whatever reason, even though it doesn't fit the rules, Klutika Mishanuncha would tell me that it's impossible to have Maver Dal Rambam's Rishus Rabim. So Tosfos says, yeah, but it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai you're chayiv for being Maver Dal Rambam's Rishus Rabim. So anyway, so the Gemara is suggesting, should we say that the whole machlokas over here between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim is dafka when it's within 10 tefachim of the ground of the Rishus Rabim, and the machlokas is that Rabbi Kiva holds Kluta Kamisha Uncha, Umar Savar and the Rabbanan hold the Chachamim hold Lo Amrin Kluta Kamisha Uncha, that we do not assume something in the airspace of a Rishus is viewed as if it's resting in the Rishus, Aval Malame Asara, but when you throw something more than 10 tefachim off the ground, Divrei HaKol Potter, then everyone is going to say that you're Potter, because you can't apply Kluta Kamisha Uncha because it's no longer in the airspace of Rishus Rabim. The airspace, as we mentioned yesterday, the airspace of Rishus Rabim only goes up until 10 tefachim. Above that is a makom patur. So v'lo yalfin zarek mimoshit. And if this is the assumption that we're going to make, we're going to have to assume that we're not going to derive the halachas of being zorek something from the halachas of being moshit something, from the halachas of passing something. Because certainly passing above 10 tefachim off of the ground is going to be chayv, because that's what they actually did in the Mishkan. So that's one way to understand the machlokas of Rekim and the Chum, that it's all about Klut Kamisha Uncha, it's all about within 10 tefachim of the ground. More than 10 tefachim off the ground, everyone's going to say Potter. Oh, Dilma, or maybe we should say another way, that Lamalame Asara Pligi, the machlokas is really when it's above 10 tefachim off the ground. Ubaha Pligi, and the Nekudas HaMachlokas is Demar Savri Alfin and Zarg Mimoshit. Rabbi Kivu's Mechayiv would say, well, when you pass something through Rosh Hashanah more than 10 tefachim off the ground, you're chayiv. So when you throw something, it should be the same. We learn Zorik Mimoshit. Umar Savar and the Chum say, Lo Yalfin and Zorik Mimoshit. We cannot learn the halachas of throwing from the halachas of passing. Avalamatame Asara, but within 10 tefachim of the ground, Divrei HaKol Chayiv. Then everyone's going to say, you're chayiv. My taima. Why is it that everyone is going to say that you're chayiv? Because we say, Klutu Kamashu and Chadamya, that when something is within 10 tefachim of the ground, when something is in the airspace of a Rishus, then everyone would agree that that's as if it's resting in the Rishus, and therefore everyone would agree that you're going to be chayiv. So which way is the correct way of understanding this machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim? Is the whole machlokas within 10 tefachim, but l'mala me'asara everyone holds pater, or is the whole machlokas l'mala me'asara, but l'mata me'asara everyone holds chayiv? So I'm Rav Yosef, I'm also by the Rav Chista. Rav Yosef says, we asked this shayla to Rav Chista, upashtun alei Rav Amnuna meha. And when we brought up this shayla, Rav Amnuna resolved this question based on a brisa, that the brisa tells him Rishus Yachl, Rishus Yachl, va'over Rishus Rabim atzma, Rabbi Kiva mechay v'cham potrim, that if you throw something from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaYachid, an object that goes from a Rishus Yach to another Rishus Yachid, and it passes through a Rishus HaRabim Atzma, so Rabbi Kiva is Mechayiv and Lecham Pater. So let's be medayik from this brisa. What can we learn from here? Midka Amar b'Rishus HaRabim Atzma. From the fact that the Tana says that the Machlok Rabbi Kiva and Lecham is where the object went through Rishus HaRabim Atzma, Pshita L'matame Asar Apligi. That sounds like they're arguing when it's within 10 tefachim of the ground. Because the Malame Asar Tvachim you would never describe as Rishus Rabim Atzma. Rishus Rabim Atzma makes it sound like you're still within the airspace of the Rishus Rabim. Ubimai, and what's the case? How did it pass through the Rishus Rabim? Was it through throwing? Was it through walking it through? Ilem Ubimai, you're going to say that they just carried it through by hand from the Rishus Yach to Rishus Yach, Derech the Rishus Rabim. So the Matame Asara, Huda Mechayev, the Malame Asara, Lo Mechayev. Do you mean to tell me that you're only chayiv if it went through lamata me'asar tefachim? But had it been lamala me'asar, you would have been pater. V'amar Abelazar, amotzi masa lamala me'asar chayiv shekein masa b'nei ka'as. But that's not true. If you carry something, if you're carrying something lamala me'asar, you're going to be chayiv, because when the b'nei ka'as carried the aron, it was lamala me'asar tefachim, and we learn all the malachs of Shabbos from the malachs of the Mishkan. So they were mavir. If you're mavir an object, you're chayiv even if it's lamala me'asar tefachim. So since according to to Rabbi Akiva. Hotzah mirushas yach lirushas rayach and derech rushas rabim is a malacha. He should be mechayiv even when you're mavir lemala me'asar tefachim. Elolav bizorik. So it must be that the case that the Bryce is talking about is that it's thrown from one rishus to the other rishus with the rishus rabim atzma in the middle. So the matame asaru de mechayiv. So we see that it's talking about it's within 10 tefachim of the ground. And we see that you're talking about a case of throwing, and that's the case where Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim are disagreeing. So it's only when it's within 10 tefachim of the ground that Rabbi Akiva is going to be mechayiv. Lemal me'asar lo mechayiv. But if it were more than 10 tefachim off the ground, Rabbi Akiva would not be mechayiv for throwing. So shema mina b'klut k'mishuncha pligi. So you see, the whole machlokas must only be about klut k'mishuncha, because the whole machlokas is dafka in a case where it's lemata me'asara and zorek. So shema mina. So in fact, that's a good raya. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. That raya assumes that the whole machlokas about klut k'mishuncha upliga to Rabbi Elazar. Rav Amnun is in disagreement with Rabbi Elazar. Dam Rabbi Elazar mechayiv hayu Rabbi Akiva afilu lemal me'asara. Rabbi Akiva is even mechayiv if it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground as well. V'haydu k'tani Rosh Hashanah matzma. Why did the Braisa Dafka give a case where it's within 10 tefachim of the ground if Rabbi Akiva would have insisted that you're chayiv even if it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground? To let you know how strongly the Rabbanan held their shita, that not only do they say that you're pater when you're zorek lemala me'asar tefachim, they're even going to say you're pater when it's lemata me'asar tefachim. And you might have thought to say kluta k'misha huncha. No, the Rabbanan say that not only are we not yalev zorek mimoshit, we're not even going to say kluta k'misha huncha damya. So there are really two extremes over here, according to Rabbi Elazar, that Rabbi Akiva is going to be mechayev both lemata me'asara and lemala me'asara, and the chamim are going to pater both lemata and lemala me'asara. Upligat Rav Chilkiya Bar Tovi, and Rabbi Elazar is in disagreement with Rabbi Chilkiya Bar Tovi. Dam Rabbi Chilkiya Bar Tovi, because Rabbi Chilkiya Bar Tovi tells us that toch shlosha divrei kol chayiv, if it went through the Rosh Hashanah within 3 tvachim of the ground, then everyone's going to say chayiv, because within three tvachim is considered lavud. That's like it's on the ground. Lemal me'asara divrei hakol potter. When it's more than 10 tvachim off of the ground, everyone's going to say potter. Mishlosha v'adasara banan machloks Rabbi Akiva rabbanon, and the whole machloks Rabbi Akiva rabbanon is only between 3 and 10 tvachim. So that is against Rabbi Elazar, because remember Rabbi Elazar is the one that said that the machlokas is both within 10 tefachim and above 10 tefachim from the ground. And here you have Rabbi Chilkiya Bar Tovi saying, no, the machlokas is only in that window between 3 and 10 tefachim from the ground. Tanya Nami Achi, and we have a braisa that supports Rabbi Chilkiya Bar Tovi's understanding that betoch shlosha divrei hakol chayiv lemal me'asara eino el mishum shvus. If it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, then it's only in Isra Midrabanan. You're not going to be chayiv. The Chum Masr being metalta from Rosh Hashiyachid to another Rosh Hashiyachid, even if there's not a Rosh Hashiram Bam, so you're not allowed without an air of Chatzeros, you're not allowed to take from one Rosh Hashiyachid to another Rosh Hashiyachid. So the Malam Me'asar, you're not off scot free, it's an Issa Drabanan, but at least you're not going to be Chayiv. But it's only Nisim Midrabanan. Im hayu Rishuyos Shelo Mutter. But if both of the Rishuyos are yours, then it's Mutter L'Chadchila to throw from one Rishus to the other. That the Chum don't require an Erev Chatzeres for you to take from one of your own Rishuyos Yachud to the other. Mishlosh of Yad Asara, Rabbi Akiva Mechayev Chum Potrin. But if it's somewhere between 3 and 10 Tfachim, that's where you have Machlokas. Rabbi Akiva says Chayev, and the Chacham say that you are Potter. Magen Avraham points out, Potrim, the Chum say that you're Potter, sounds like it's Asur Midrabanan to be Zorik even Lemata Me'asara according to the Chachamim. So Amar Mar. So we said in this Braisa, Im Hayu Rishuya Shelo Mutter. Now just a tangential thing. We have mentioned in this Braisa that if both Rishuyos are your Rishuyos, so you're allowed to be Mavir from one of your own Rishuyos to another one of your own Rishuyos. That's Mutter. So Leimetavi Tiyufta de Rav. That should be a Tiyufta on Rav. The Itmar Shnei Batim Meshay Tzidir Rishus Rav Rav Barav Huna Amar Rav Asur Lizog Mizel Lizeh Ushmuel Amar Mutter Lizog Mizel Lizeh. That Rav holds that it's Asur to throw from one to the other, and they're both your own Rishuyos. because if one of these Rishuyos is not yours, of course you need an Erev Chatzeros. So it must be that they're both your own Rishuyos, and Rav still says that it's also to do it. So V'lav Miyukim Nalahi Kigon Demidli Chad Mitate Demidli Chad Umitate Chad Dezimnim Nafal Vasi L'Si. No, that's a different situation. That's talking about a case where, yeah, they're both your own Rishuyos, but they're uneven with each other. One of them is elevated above the other. So when you're throwing it, you either have to throw in a downward way or an upward way where you can be very focused on throwing it exactly right. And therefore, there's a greater risk that if it drops in the Rosh Hashanah, if you drop it out of your hand and it lands in the Rosh Hashanah in the middle, you're going to go into that Rosh Hashanah and bring it back because you're so distracted in your focus on how to throw it exactly right that you're going to lose yourself and you'll go and bring it. So that's a special gezeirah that you might drop it and then you'll come to pick it up from the Rosh Hashanah and bring it back into the Rosh Hashayachid. So when someone is Zorik from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid and it goes through Rosh Hashanah, there are three separate Isurim that our sugya dealt with, right? There's the Isur Hotza'ah, potentially. There's the Isur of Tiltal between two Rishuyos HaYachid, even had there not been a Rosh Hashanah in the middle, because you have you need an Erev Chatzeros, and then you have this additional thing that even if both Rishuyos HaYachid belong to the same person, but they're on different levels, there's this Gezeira that you might drop it and come back to bring it in. Okay, so now the Gemara says, we mentioned Lavud over here, that within three Tvachim of the ground is Lavud. Where does that very concept come from? Where do we have this concept that anything within three tefachim of the ground is considered lavud? So if you ever walk in Rosh Hashanah, by definition, there are always some bumps in the ground in the Rosh Hashanah. It's not perfectly even, like flooring in your house is perfectly even. You take a walk outside and you look at your Fitbit and it tells you that you climbed 15 flights of stairs, but you didn't, because the Rosh Hashanah, by its very nature, goes up and down. That's the way, that's the nature of Rosh Hashanah. So you're never going to have it exactly even. So therefore, anything within three tefachim is considered kalavud. Ihachi shloshanami, but then even if it's more than three tefachim, Rosh Hashanah go up and down even more than three tefachim. Visu haditnan, and also the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Sukkah, that if you lower the defunnels of your sukkah from the top going down to the bottom, that if they're more than three tefachim off the ground, they're pasul. Sounds like within three tefachim of the ground, they're going to be kosher. So luchara, that's midin lavud. But that you can't say the reason of a Rosh Hashanah having gavshushis, having different, that has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. You're building your sukkah in your backyard. You're building your sukkah in your driveway. So hasam haynu time. No, by sukkah it's a different din. By sukkah it's just because it wouldn't be a valid mechitza, since small animals can get through underneath the mechitza if it's more than three tefachim off the ground. So teinach lemata lemayla ma'ika lememar. That explains why a sukkah that has a gap of more than three tefachim from the ground to the bottom of the wall is not kosher. But why is it that a sukkah that has a gap of more than three tefachim from the top of the wall to the schach is pasul, right? And less than that is kosher. Less than that is considered closed. That's got nothing to do with Kedi and Bokenba. That has nothing to do with small animals getting in. So says Gemara, Ella kol pachus mishlosha kalavadami. No, you have to, hilchsa gemirla. You have to say the whole din of lavud is alach l'moshim isinai. So it's hilchsa gemirla. That's how we know the din of lavud. It's alach l'moshim isinai. Okay, so now the Mishnah dealt with the case of Zorik Rishus Yachid, Rishus Yachid, Derek Rishus Arabim. So now the Gemara is going to flip it around. What if you do the reverse? Tan Rabbanim, Rishus Rabbim, Rishus What if you throw from one Rosh Hashanah to the other Rosh Hashanah with the Rosh Hashanah in the middle? So Rabbi Mechayev, Rabbi says Yechayev Chatas, V'cham Potim, V'cham Seir Potim. Rav Shmuel Damri Tavai Lochiev, Rabbi Ella, Rosh Hashanah Mekora. Rabbi only says Yechayev if the Rosh Hashanah that was in the middle had a roof over it. I mean, in basic command, Demal Yadamya. Because then we say it's as if the whole Rosh Hashanah was filled in. So the object is as if it rested in the Rosh Hashanah in the middle. Aval Shena Mekora. But if it wasn't roofed, lo, then Rabbi would not be Mechayev. Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mechayev Hayi Rabbi Shtayim, Achs Mishum Otsa'ah, V'Achs Mishum Achnasa. Rabbi's Mechayev twice, one for Otsa'ah, from the Rosh Hashayachid to the Rosh Hashayachid on the other side, and one for Achnasa, from the Rosh Hashayachid to the Rosh Hashayachid Be'emtza. The Achronim point out, he should have said it in the reverse order, the Achnasa came before the Otsa'ah, but okay. Yasser Rav Chanan V'Kakashalei, so Rav Chanan was bothered by the following Kasha, that Rabbi is Mechayev Shtei Chatos, for Otsa'ah and for Achnasa. Achnasa is a tolda of hotza'a. The Meimer de Mechayev Rabbi Atolda Makom Av, is Rabbi Mechayev for a tolda when you did its Av? Vatanya Rabbi Omer Dvarim Hadvarim Eila Hadvarim Eila Shalosh Mutesh Melach Shremel Lemosh B'Sinai. How do I know that there are 39 Melachs of Shabbos? Dvarim is plural, that's two. The extra hey, that's a third one. And Eila is Gematria 36, so 36 plus 3, that's 39. Who cares? Who cares how many Melachs there are of Shabbos? It only matters that there are 39 to tell me that you're not Chayiv Atolda B'Makom Av. So how can it be that Rebbe says that you're Chayiv Atolda B'Makom Av? Rebbe's the one that darshined Eila Hadvarim to dafka tell me a number of Melachos, which only matters because you're not Chayiv Atolda B'Makom Av. Samalei Rav Yosef said to Rav Chana, Mar Ahom Asila, you have Rav Yudom Rishmol's comment that you're chayiv mishum twice, one mishum hotzah, one mishum achnasa, on Rebbe, and therefore you're bothered with kashale, and therefore you're kashale de Rebbe ad Rebbe, therefore you're bothered with the stira and Rebbe, anan ad Rebbe Yudom Asninan. We have the comment of Yudom Rishmol not in connection with Rebbe, but in connection with Rebbe Yehuda. So velo kashale, and therefore we don't have any stira. Titanya, meaning Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that you're chayiv on a tolda b'makom av, not Rabbi. Titania, the Brisa tells us, Mirshus Yakul, Rishus Rabim, Avra Abra Amos, Rishus Rabim. A slightly different case, a third case. You threw something from Rishus Yakul to Rishus Rabim. No separate Rishus in the middle, but it traveled four Amos within that Rishus Rabim before it landed. So Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv a chum potter. Rabbi Yehuda says that you're chayiv, and the chum say that you're going to be potter. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mershmul, mechayiv a Rabbi Yehuda shtayim. When Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayiv, it means you're chayiv twice, achs mishum otza'a, one for being mosi from the Rishus Yach to the Rishus Ram, but v'achs mishum avara, but you're also chayiv separately because it traveled four amos in the Rishus Rabim. Now being mavir dalar on the Rishus Ram is a tolda of hotza'a, and yet Rabbi Yehuda still says you're going to be chayiv twice, once for the hotza'a and once for being mavir. Ooh, so you see Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're chayiv for a tolda b'makom av. Because if Rabbi Yehuda were only saying that you're chayiv once, mechal the rabbanon patri legamri, then the rabbanon's shita would be untenable, right? The rabbanon are saying if you throw something from Rishus Yachid and it lands in a Rishus Rab more than four amos away, you're going to be patur entirely, no chayiv whatsoever. Hapaglim Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rab, it's textbook. You did the malacha exactly of being motzi from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rab. It can't be that the chum say you're totally patur. When the chum say patur, they must mean you're only chayiv once. And therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda says chayiv, he must mean you chayiv twice. Ah, so you see that Rabbi Yehuda's mechayiv atolda b'makom av. Says Gemara Mimai, Dilma liol me'melach Rabbi Yehuda chadu the mechayiv rabbanon patri legamri. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayiv only once, and the rabbanon say you're totally pater. Ve'echim mishkachas. So how could you have a case where you threw something from Rishus Yach to Rishus Rabim, and the rabbanon are going to say you're totally pater? Kigon da'amar ad denafkele l'Rishus Rabim tanuach. That when you want it to land as soon as it goes into the Rishus Rabim, and it ended up landing more than four amos into the Rishus Rabim. So Rabbi Yehuda holds it's as if it landed wherever it was going through the airspace. So your plan was actually fulfilled of it landing in the right away when it got into the Rishus Rabim. And the Rabbanan say, we do not apply Klutu Kamishuncha, and therefore what you intended to do never happened. Even though it did land in Rosh Hashanah, you wanted it to land right away when it got into the Rosh Hashanah. It traveled four amos further, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv for the hotzah. Avalat zalad of makom av lo mechayiv Rabbi Yehuda. But it could be that nobody, not even Rabbi Yehuda, would be mechayiv separately for a tolda when you also did the av. So it says Gemara lo sal kadaituch. Nah, don't think that Rabbi Yehuda is not mechayiv on a tolda makom av. Titanya Rabbi Yehuda Mosif af hashovet vamedaktek. Rabbi Yehuda added to the malachos that we mentioned in Daf Ayin Gimel in the Mishnah, the Lamtes Malachos, being shovet and medaktik, straightening the strings, different types of things that you do in the weaving process. So Amru lo, the Chum said back to him, shovet harei b'chal mesach. There already is a malacha. Shovet is a tolda of mesach. Medaktik harei b'chal oreg. And medaktik is a tolda of oreg. So my love, davdin l'travayu ba'de adadi, isn't the case where you did both of these things. You did oreg and medaktik. You did shovet and mesach. And mechayv hai rabbi da told makamav. And you see that even though one is a tolda of the other, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're still going to be chayiv separately for these toldos b'makom liav. So don't you see Rabbi Yehuda is mechayiv atolda b'makom av? Says where am I? Maybe we're talking about where you did the malach of shoveg without being mesach. You did medaktek without being oreg. Rabbi Yehuda told makom av la mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda never would have been mechayev on a told of a makom av. Uba'akam efugid. Rabbi Yehuda savar hani avos ninu. Rabbi Yehuda, when he says shoveg and medaktek are also aser, he's not saying that they're a tolda that you'd be chayev on even when you did their av. He's saying these are extra avos malacha. For Rabbanan Savri, Hani told us, and the Rabbanan say, nah, they're only told us. Teda, Diktani, Rabbi Yehuda, Mosif, on the Mishnah, the list of the 39 malachos, what's the lashon? The Rabbi Yehuda added Shovei to Medaktek, meaning that he's adding two more avos. So Yam Bishlama avos, my Mosif, Mosif avos. Eliyam told us, my Mosif. If he's just telling us identifying certain toldos of certain malachos, the word Mosif is inappropriate. Itmar Nami, Rabbi Yosef Dami Tavai, Lochi of Rabbi Yehuda, Ela Achas. That Rabbi Yehuda is only Chayev once, he would not be Mechayev Atolda, Bemakomav. So Amalei Ravina Leravashi, Lemay Desal Kadaiti Meikar, De Mechayev Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim, according to our Hava Amina, that Rabbi Yehuda is Mechayev Shtayim, once for Otsah, once for Avara, when you throw from one Rishus to the other with the Rishus in the middle, even if he's Mechayev Atolda Makomav, it still shouldn't make sense, because Ilahacha Kabayla, Lachi Lo Kabayla, Vilahacha Kabayla, Lacha Lo Kibayla, because he only wanted it to land in one of those places. So how could he be Chayev twice? It was either way, in one of those actions, lo savida le machshavaso. Meaning, if he threw from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus Ram with Rishus Yachid Be'emtza, let's say, right? So he wanted it either to land in the Rishus Yachid or in the Rishus Rabim. And the other one was not machshavaso, was not a kiyum of his machshava. So Meili should not have been chayiv. Samalei, ba'omer kalmakam shetirtza tenuach. No, the case is, he didn't mind. Wherever it landed, he was perfectly happy with. And that's why the Havamina was that Rabbi Yehuda's mechayiv shtayim, even on hachnasa b'makam hotza'a. Because both the hachnasa and the hotza'a were his avidalei machshavaso. They were both a fulfillment of his machshava. Okay, we'll have to stop there, and we'll pick up from the two dots, pshita, tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Have a good day, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you.